Christ and Savior. Good morning. Good morning. Okay, now we got everybody on the same tune here, going the same tune. Hope you all sing the same tune as we sing this morning also. You know, we have a great and mighty God. Amen? You see it all through Scripture. And there are a lot of Scriptures specifically say that, but then you also see it in the way God acts throughout human history. And right at the very beginning, when he created everything, the entire universe brought into being just by saying so. What a mighty God we serve. We're going to sing songs about that this morning, and the words will be on the screen, but if you want to follow along the hymn book, use the hymn that we're singing all hymns this morning. We're really happy to have Philip here for the weekend, and he's playing for us this morning. So, harkening back a little bit to when I grew up, a lot of you I know grew up on the hymns. We use a lot of different other music these days, but we like to keep remembering the old hymns that are so great and speak to our hearts. So we'll sing some of them this morning. Let's stand to start with "When We All Get to Heaven." Looking forward to that day. Sing this with joy. Understanding and to give comfort. And we thank you for that. We rejoice today in your presence with us and your presence here, because we are here with you. And we ask that your Spirit would just bless us mightily as we sing these songs. May our hearts be lifted up in thought and remembrance of how great you are. And as we hear your word proclaimed this morning, we ask that it would speak to us and be alive and meaningful in our hearts and be used in our lives as we go out from here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's remain standing. We want to sing How Great Thou Art.
Oh,
We'll be meeting up in the Faith Ministry Center. We're going to start out with a prep week. This is preseason. You know, the teams all have a preseason. And that doesn't mean anything in the standings, so you don't get nervous or upset because it doesn't count. And that's what the prep night will be like, our preseason night. We'll have a lot of good times about God's Word. Now, this week, the questions are going to be about the whole Bible. We won't have any trouble coming up with plenty of questions, so don't worry about running out of questions. But it's about the Bible itself, the books of the Bible. And so you might get a question like, what is the last book in the Bible? And somebody will say,
Revelation.
And we'll say, what's the first book in the New Testament? And you'll say,
Matthew.
All right, see, you're already ready. You know two of the questions. But no, it's going to be a lot of fun. We did it last year, and we wanted to do it better and bigger this year. And we want to have a lot more people here. So be spreading the word. Get the word out to your friends and neighbors. We particularly want to get the children of the mountain here. Listen, the main idea starting this in the beginning was to have something going on for the kids through the summer. We are going to have a week of a five-day club that Child Evangelism Fellowship summer missionaries will run here for the kids of the mountain coming up in June. But we wanted something to keep their interest through the summer, and it'll be on Wednesday night, same time as the news club. But you know, we found out last year that the adults really got a kick out of this too. How many of you were there at least once or more for Bible baseball last year? Quite a few of you. We'd like to see more of you this year, and it's really enjoyable, it's a lot of fun. This week, we'll tell you what to study for the next week and so forth, right through the summer, so you'll know. Be a specific area of chapters in God's Word, or maybe a short book, like the book of Ruth or Esther, or that sort of thing. Something that you can really get your mind around in a week's time. It'll help you to learn to go over God's Word a little more in depth, to study it, more than just read real quick, to study it so you can retain. And then we'll have questions each week. So, be spreading the word, letting the kids in your neighborhood know, and be here Wednesday night for a preseason. We'll get all the kinks worked out of it, and learn how to run, and then we start the next week, you'll be in good shape. The only night we will not have it on Wednesday night will be the 4th of July, because the 4th falls on Wednesday this year. We'll be following right on through to the first week in August. Alrighty, I ask the ushers to gather in the back now to prepare to receive our offering. Give God's due back to Him.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us to worship you and lift up your name. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has given us all things and strengthens us in all things also. We're grateful that we can worship you and praise you in our offerings. We ask that you give us wisdom in using it, that it might bring glory to you. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Okay, this is the last Sunday of the month, and that means it is
bucket offering.
That Sunday, so I'll ask the kids to gather in the back. Mr. Steve, give you some buckets there. You can bring them up.
Thank you. Thank you. Good job.
Redemption to to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever. Last verse there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a very important verse. We have a lot of wisdom, so-called wisdom in this world, a lot of knowledge, but so often there's not much wisdom with it. And this tells us where wisdom begins, where we really find the foundation of wisdom, that's with the Lord. All right, Children's Church is dismissed at this time. Any of you who haven't gone out yet?
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, praise team. We will be having a dedication of all the those who serve on the boards, but we do want to take a time this morning in the pastoral prayer and congregational prayer that we pray for them. We thank the Lord for their willingness to serve, their servants' hearts. We thank the Lord for the spiritual gifts and abilities, too, that he has given to each and every one of them to serve the body of Christ. But at the same time, I'd like to ask you to take out your bulletin, please. We need to add another to our prayer list as we're praying for one another. And as a church family, we pray for others. If you would write Nick Roundsville. Nick Roundsville. Nick was injured and he's recovering there at the SEALs boot camp on the West Coast. So we pray for his speedy recovery. He seems to be coming along well, according to Betty and Wayne, so we continue to pray for a full recovery, and we thank the Lord that God is doing that. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your goodness and graciousness to us, Lord. Great are you, Lord, and your works are great and glorious, especially the work of redemption, for we who are sinners, deserving only judgment and wrath, and yet you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. Oh, your amazing grace, that he would live that sinless and perfect life, fulfilling your law perfectly, where we could never even begin to think of fulfilling your law. We failed and failed and come short so many times. And that's what sin is. We thank you, Father. He who knew no sin became sin for us when he hung on the cross and bearing our sins, bearing the judgment that was rightly ours, bearing the very wrath of God there in his sacrifice for us. Thank you, Father, that your amazing grace was so evident and manifest too in his resurrection, rising triumphantly from death. Thank you, Father, that we have a risen and ruling and sovereign Savior, your Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you are a great high priest, our great high priest. And it's with confidence that we come before a new and living way into the very holy of holies in the heavenlies. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, that gift of the Comforter to guide us, to give us wisdom, to give us understanding in your word and the application of your word to our lives and to the life of your church, Lord. We thank you for all these graces that you have given us and so many more, so much more every day. Lord, we thank you that you've given us as a church family, men and women as members in the body of Christ, in many ministries, in many services, a caregiving service, a comforting service, praying ministries, teaching ministries, serving in leadership. Lord, thank you. And right now, Father, we thank you for these men and women who with servants' hearts have said they will do what you have called them to do. We thank you for the spiritual gifts and abilities you've given to them and the level of spiritual maturity, too, to function as leaders, as teachers, as servants. And so, Lord, we thank you for our elders, our shepherds here at South Mountain Bible Church. We thank you, Father, for Henry Kendall, for Steve Baranowski, and Steve Snyder. And we pray that, Father, in your great wisdom, Lord Jesus, that you also, by your Holy Spirit, will begin to that preparation of hearts of other men for that position in the near future, through discipling, through mentoring, and to the position of elders as shepherds. We thank you for our deacons. Lord, we thank you for Lacey Pritt and Lee Bergunier, for Dan Johnson, for Gary Kaufman. Thank you, Father, for their servant hearts too, that they desire and delight to serve you in serving your body, the church. Bless them, Father, we pray. And may you also, through their lives, through their ministry, Lord, also raise up others in the near future who will be discipled and mentored for those positions of leadership and service. Father, we thank you for the deaconesses, and we thank you for the servant's heart that they have, desiring and delighting to serve you, and in serving you, serving the body of Christ here. Lord, thank you for Pat Miller, for Dottie Hahn, for Bev Pritt, for Connie Voss. Thank you, Father, for their great faithfulness. We thank you, Father, for our trustees. Thank you for Larry coming on board. Lord, we pray for Larry Hensley, for Wendell Hollinger. And we again also pray that, Lord, through their lives and through their ministries and the work of your Holy Spirit, that you would raise up others who will serve in those capacities, in that capacity of trustee. We thank you for our Sunday school superintendent, John Rodriguez. Lord, bless him. We pray for all the teachers, too, that, Lord, that minister your word in teaching, in encouraging, in edifying. Lord, we pray for the Sunday school program and ministry. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness of John and all the teachers. Lord, bless them richly and deeply in your word as they delight themselves in you, Lord Jesus, and delight in studying and preparing lessons from your word. Give them great unction of your Spirit, Father, and open the hearts of all who come. We pray for our Sunday school classes that they will grow, that they will increase, and that those who come and learn of you, Lord Jesus, and those who come to salvation by grace through faith in you, Lord Jesus, will truly become what your word defines and describes as disciples of Christ. Thank you, Father, that we can also pray for the military. Many of them are part of our church family who have served faithfully. And some are part of our church family right now serving actively. Lord, we ask for your blessings upon them. And right now we pray, Father, for Tyler Harnish, Danielle Miller, C.J. Miller, for Dustin Draper, for Lane Warden, for Robert Gray, for Nick Roundsville, Austin Buford, Holly Snyder, Andrew Kirby, Dylan Carbell. Father, we thank you for these men and women that, Lord, are serving. We ask for your blessings and protection about them, Lord. We thank you, Father, too, that you have placed them there as a witness for you, Lord Jesus. We pray that you'll also bring into their lives other brothers and sisters in Christ and fellow arms, fellow servicemen and women, that they can be encouraged and be encouragers to them. We pray for the families, Father, of our military personnel. We realize that sometimes with frequent and long deployments, it's a real strain emotionally, physically even, just meeting the needs of every day, as well as spiritually. And so we pray for their families. Lord, bless their marriages. Bless their family, their children. Lord, we pray that there too you would bring into their lives, into their life experience, brothers and sisters in Christ that can comfort them, encourage them, pray with them, serve and help them where service and help is needed. And thank you, Father, for the many in our state and local governments and our federal government as well that have served in the military and that are consciously aware of the great needs of our military men and women coming home, and those who are retirees, those who have great, great needs, physical, emotional, psychological, but also spiritual. Lord, we pray that you will raise up more and more who have a real burden and a genuine God-given care for them. Those of your people that are gifted of you, Lord Jesus, that are enabled by you and empowered by your Holy Spirit to minister to them and to their families. For these things, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Let's stand now and take a minute to shake hands, greet each other in the name of the Lord, and say hello.
Our God is present there and He's present here. Amen? And you know, He delights and records when His people gather together and lift up His name in worship. He says that in His Word. He remembers. He cares. He knows our needs. Every one of us have come in here with different past experiences this past week, maybe some ups and downs, maybe some real challenges, maybe some just overflowing joys. Our Father knows all of those things. And you know something? He knows even far greater and far meaningful what our true needs are. Your needs, my needs. Not just our felt needs, but our deep, deep spiritual needs. Our relational needs. Not only individually, but He knows those needs that we have as a body of Christ. So I invite you to turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4, and if you'll take out your outline, as we've been going and starting last week, the series on the vital signs of a healthy, living, growing church. And realizing that a church is not an organization, it's an organism, it's the body of Christ living and breathing for His glory. Amen? Yeah, it's not the building. It's the church gathered wherever. Happens to be in this building here. We've been looking at, in the start of the series, seven commitments of a Christ-living, gospel-driven church makes. We're on commitment number 2 in our series. Commitment number 1, that we are committed to unity. And Paul expresses that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit there in Ephesians chapter 4. As he taught doctrine of our salvation, of our relationship by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, where God now is our Heavenly Father, no longer alienated and separated from Him, but now united with Him through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and become part of His body, the body of Christ. Yes, there is that universal body that spans time and space, but we see it manifested and experience it being manifested in our relationship right here, South Mountain Bible Church. And how does that doctrine that is taught of our salvation and redemption in Jesus Christ that we share together, how does that affect our living together, our serving together, our glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ together? And that's where these seven commitments, I believe, that are taught from Ephesians chapter 4 through Ephesians chapter 6. We are committed to the unity of the body of Christ. And we have a biblical basis for that. All those passages, if you will, that Paul begins in chapter 4 are unity, where he says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all and by grace. But the grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then he enters into how those gifts are part of that expressed, if you will, that manifest unity, but now unity in ministry. And that's our second commitment of the seven, our commitment to ministry. And so from chapter 4 and verse, basically starting again in that transition statement in verse 7, right on to through verse 16, our commitment as a Christ-living, gospel-driven church. We are committed to ministry. I praise the Lord that when Paul is presenting these commitments, we realize that we don't do it on our own. We do it together with the Lord and for Him and with Him. And it's His enabling power that enables you and me, all believers in the body of Christ, all members in that body, to make those commitments and follow through on them. To obey Jesus Christ as our sovereign Lord and follow through in that obedience. And that's why before he gets into chapter 4, he closes that doctrinal passage, if you will, chapters 1, 2, and 3, with a doxology. But even that instructs us and encourages us and should give us a living hope in Jesus Christ that, yes, by His grace, by His life, through His gospel, we can do this. We can do it together. Take a look, if you will, what I mean in chapter 3, verses 20. This doxology, but it's also a prayer. And just a reminder to us how great our God is. Amen? How great and glorious He is. And He manifests His greatness and glory here in this world through His church. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly. What he means is that, you know, we're not experiencing all that God wants to do in our lives. As a church, in your life, my life, individually, we're not experiencing all that God wants to do. He wants to do so much more. Will you let Him? Will we let Him as a church family? And that's the question. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work in us. Well, whose power? Well, take a look. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. You and I cannot live the Christian life. And we together cannot be in our own strength, in our own plans, to be a church in the living life of Jesus Christ and be gospel driven. Without Him working in us and through us. Pray with me. Father God, we thank You for Your Word, that it is powerful and living, that it does discern our thoughts and the intents of our very hearts, and You know everything about us, not only individually but collectively, and how You have placed every member here in this local body, reflecting the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your grace and power that continues to work in us, manifesting Your power through the gospel, and never stops. So Lord, open our hearts, open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to see what You would have us to learn, that we would indeed follow through in these commitments as You enable us. Lord, we know that You're constantly enabling. So it's not a question of whether You will or won't, but really the question is whether we will or we won't. So Lord, may You work in our hearts, both to will and to do Your good pleasure for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Purpose is important, isn't it? You know, everybody wants to have a purpose, a meaning, a significance in life. Well, what's a purpose? What's the chief end of man? Well, if you go back to the Westminster Catechism or Confession of Faith, chief end of man and women too, okay? Man is used in a generic sense, all of humanity. The chief end of man, created in the image of God, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Well, how do you do that? And that's part of the purpose. That is a purpose that you and I have as a church family, too. To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Well, we glorify God and we enjoy Him by being and living every day in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and using the spiritual gifts that He has given to each and every one of us. That brings glory to God. That also brings great enjoyment into the life of the believer. And we'll see why. Take a look, if you will. Second commitment, commitment to ministering together as a body. And that's verses 7 through 16. It begins with the gifts that are given. Take a look at verses 7 through 10. Follow with me as I read those verses. But the grace that was given to each one of us, Paul includes himself. So no one can, in the following passage where he speaks of ministry, we can say, well, that's Paul. That's the clergy. We love to say, well, this is the clergy and this is the laity. We'll get into that shortly, okay? But Paul said, us, all of us, the apostles of Christ, the apostles of the church, members in the body of Christ, that's you and me, okay? Grace has been given to us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when He ascended on high, He led hosts of captives, and He gave gifts to men. And saying He ascended, what does it mean? But that He also descended into the lower regions of the earth, and He also descended into, He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. It's interesting, Paul begins with this ministry of Christ, already being manifest, not only in this word, but in the reality of what the church is, that the church is, okay, here on earth. And there's a portion of the church in heaven right now by those who have preceded us. And we will all be there together one day. But he begins with the glory of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, in His incarnation, descending from glories above here into the sin-cursed world. The incarnation of the very Son of God and His redemptive work in that descending into this world to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer, to be our Lord, and to be the very head of the church that He is building, and that not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. The giver of gifts is Jesus Christ. He gives gifts to all believers, according to verses 7 through 8. He gave gifts to men, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. There are four chapters in the Word of God in the New Testament that give a list of those spiritual gifts. It's not an exhaustive list. And Paul and Peter, they weren't intending to give an exhaustive list, but there are spiritual gifts, and you're given a spiritual gift. The moment that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He endowed you, He blessed you, not only with the presence of the Holy Spirit within you, but also with spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, we're going to see how they work out, in His sovereign plan to enable us to glorify Him and enjoy Him together. The picture that Paul is using, of course, is a military picture. And it's a victorious general. After the great war, after the great battle, the victory is won. There's a procession. There's a victory procession. Paul in Colossians picks this up in chapter 2 also, the victory procession. And here, our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, He's leading this procession, having claimed that victory. Indeed, the battle still goes on, but the victory is ours and yours together. We'll get into one of the other commandments is to the spiritual battle. But here, he says that this commander-in-chief has given gifts to each and every one. And it's almost like, if you will, in fact, part of that imagery there, it's like a military campaign. Amen? Military campaign, and everyone's in that military, in his service. He's the commander-in-chief, and He has equipped us and enabled us to do our part. Now, many of you are here who have been in the, many women who have been in the military service, and you know that you are given certain equipment, you're given certain training, because you have a part to play. In the grand scheme of things, you have your part. But it's never alone. It's together with others. And so that's why this military, in fact, the reformers really had it together too, when they looked at the Word of God and studied the Word of God, they said, well, first of all, there's a church militant right here on earth. Amen? Yeah. And Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief, and He's equipping those in His service in the church for that battle, for that ministry. And then there's the church victorious there in glory. But you and I are not there yet. We're still in the work of the Lord. We're still in that battle. Okay? We're still following our commander-in-chief. So He gives gifts to all believers. And to glorify Him. He is glorified both in heaven and in church. He ascended above all, that He would be all in all. He is glorified in the heavens. Take a look at your outline before you. There in heaven, we see the book of Revelations is not so radio preachers and teachers or TV preachers can sell their charts and everything else and get into a debate, when is Christ coming, when is this happening. But you know that the key theme of Revelation is the worship of the Lamb. The key theme of Revelation is really worship. And so we're learning from that right now. We're practicing the whole issue and we're getting prepared to worship. So if you will, part of the worship of the Lamb is glorifying the Lamb for all that He has done. Take a look at you in your verses before you. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Yes, there on the cross and risen to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And then again in Revelation 5, verse 13, to Him who sits on the throne, that's where Jesus is right now. He ascended to heaven and He is in session right now. He's ruling supreme. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. But he's not only glorified in heaven, as we see throughout the Word of God, especially in the book of Revelation, but he's to be glorified in the church. In that priestly prayer of Jesus Christ, as he prayed for himself and he prayed for the church. Prayed for the disciples then, and he prayed for the disciples that would become disciples in Christ through their ministry in the gospel. And he says this to the Father, "All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and they glorify me." An integral part of the glory of Jesus Christ is the body of Christ, the church here on earth. And our commitment to what our Sovereign has commanded us to do. And take a look, if you will. So he's glorified in the church, even right now, if you will. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. There's a lot of wrong thinking about what the church is. And that's why it's so necessary to have a biblical view of what the church is as opposed to what the church is not. For many, it's just a club. We meet here just on a Saturday or whatever day. We sing. We go through the ritual, okay? Because we're club members. And we go as a club. And along with that, there's some who say, well, you know, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to be with the church. I can do all that at home. Because I'm part of the invisible church. Oh, really? Warren Wiersbe, when he was pastoring there at Moody Church in Chicago, he had a fellow pastor who had visited him. He says, what's going on? He said, well, it's interesting. He said, just this past week I had a fellow come, and he says, he was asking for support as a missionary. I said, oh, well, what group are you associated with? He was asked. And so the man replied to the pastor there. He said, well, I belong to the invisible church. Oh, well, what church are you a member of then? I belong to the invisible church. Oh, and getting a little more suspicious about this young fella, the pastor, and he said, well, where does this invisible church meet and who pastors it? Well, the missionary, or seeking to be a missionary, was rather incensed, and he says, well, your church isn't the true church. I belong to the invisible church. Then the pastor said, well, my friend, well, here's some invisible money to support your invisible mission as a part of the invisible church. Maybe it's not thought in those lines, in that paradigm, but unfortunately there are those who actually believe in our culture, in our society, and professing believers in Jesus Christ, that they can be all that they can be in Christ without being a part of the church. They can listen to the radio, and I'm not putting that down, please. I believe there are many believers that they can't get out because they're housebound and whatnot, and that is a viable ministry to them, so we're not. But those who can be a viable part of the body in praise, in worship, and in ministry, there's no excuse. It's not a club. It's a commitment. It's not a club. It's the body of Christ. It's not a club. It's a ministry. It's a ministry. And that's exactly what Paul is teaching here, okay? In the church, he's glorified. Let's go on, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers all of them in every one. Paul is talking about variety of gifts. Yes, not all gifts are the same. Not everyone has the same gifts. But they're distributed as the Holy Spirit has given them under the guidance of the head of the church, Jesus Christ. So there are different gifts. Gifts of teaching, gifts of comfort, gifts of caring, gifts of various types of ministry gifts. He also says that there are a variety of services. There are different types of ministries that go along with those spiritual gifts. Okay? Then he also says there are a variety of activities. I believe what he's saying is there are many opportunities But it's all empowered by God. Those gifts are given as a manifestation of God's grace in the life of the believer to serve, but to serve together. You have a spiritual gift or more. But you have at least one. Do you know what that spiritual gift is? Are you using that spiritual gift to the glory of God and for the growth of the body of Christ? You see, to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good of all, Paul says. And we grow in ministry together. The gifts are given for ministry, verses 11 through 12. Let's take a look at the gifts that Paul defines here, and they're gifts as people. Okay, people. Other areas, it's activities, if you will. But here in chapter 4, verses 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, and evangelists, and shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So here we see in this particular list, they are people that Christ has gifted the church. They are apostles. They are both the apostles of Christ in the book of Acts, as well as the apostles of the church. An apostle is one who's commissioned and sent. In one sense, in the application of that word for apostle, we can apply that same concept to our missionaries. But at the same time, you and I are missionaries too. We are also sent, for we are divinely commissioned of God as witnesses for Jesus Christ and to make disciples of all men and women and boys and girls and to teach them to obey all that Christ has taught. So there's an apostolic work within the body of Christ. But when he talks here, he's talking about historically the apostles of Christ, like Peter and John and Paul and all the original disciples. And they were given a special unction and abilities through Christ to establish the foundation of the church. But then we also have prophets. And of course we had New Testament prophets too, because the canon, the Word of God, if you will, the Bible, was not complete. And so God was still giving revelation through the apostles, also through prophets in the church, to communicate his truth to the church. But then it was recorded, of course, in those revelations. And now we have all that we need for life and godliness in Jesus Christ through his word. Okay? And so, but there is a prophetic ministry, because the prophets in the Old and New Testament didn't just foretell, but they were also forthtelling. They were proclaiming God's word to a lost and dying generation that they lived in. So there was that prophetic ministry of God's word, of proclaiming God's word. And in one sense, the church does that today too. It addresses the issues of society. It addresses the issues of the world that we live in, like abortion or some of the other things that we see that we need to address. And so there's a prophetic declaration that this is wrong, this is unrighteous, this is wickedness, this is sin, and God will judge. And so there is that, if you will, that a prophetic ministry that the church has. But here, Paul's talking about the prophets that were given to the church, the early church. And we see some evidence of that in the book of Acts. But he goes on to say also that he gave evangelists, and we have evangelists, and we see Philip was an evangelist in the early church. And even today, doing the act of evangelism, okay? We have evangelists that are strictly evangelists. They're given that gift of evangelism. I think of Billy Graham. I think of Franklin Graham. I think of many, many others too. Also, he talks about pastors and teachers here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. It's interesting because he combines them together. And there are those that are given to the church to feed and lead the church, to shepherd and teach the church. That doesn't in any way preclude or not recognize the others that are teaching in like Good News Club, and God has gifted for you to teach in our youth ministries, in various Sunday schools, for instance, and those in, if you will, in Bible colleges and also in seminaries. Not to limit those areas either. But he's given those to teach and to edify, to build up. Pastor Stuart Briscoe, some of you have probably read some of his books. In his first week of the ministry there in Elmbrook Church, a woman came up to him after the service and asked him if he would find an answer to a technical question that she had about a particular Bible text. And Briscoe replied, "No, I will not." And so the woman thought she heard him wrong. And so she asked him again, and she was noticeably shook up because she said, he couldn't have said, no, I will not. He obviously said something else. So she asked him again, and he said, no, I will not. But this is what I will do. I will teach you how to study and search through God's truth so that you can find the answers that you have from God's Word. You know what Stuart was doing? Exactly right here in Ephesians chapter 4. Enabling, equipping, edifying believers to search out the truth, to apply it as they understand it. Not only applying it, because there's another step after that. You know, the Bible study often is observation, interpretation, and then correlation sometimes where you correlate. Then you have application. Period. No. Because many Christians know how to apply the Word of God and what applies to them. But the next step in Bible study is what? Implementation. That I have to put it into my life. I have to live it out. And so Stuart Briscoe was doing exactly what we have right here. A gifted shepherd teacher. But he was also saying, I will teach you how to study the Word of God. And he began right then, right there, after the service, taking her through Scripture. The goals of ministry we have in 13 through 16, the goals of ministry are for every member in the body of Christ. You have the same goals that I have. I have the same goals that you have. Okay, let's take a look and see what those goals are. Well, the pastors, teachers, evangelists, those who are involved in ministry are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then going on to verse 16, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is ahead, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together in every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The goals of ministry are here. They're right here. Right here at South Mountain Bible Church. We have the same goals. As every local church that manifests the life of Jesus Christ, who believes in the Lord, who follows the Lord, who is born again, every Christian has these same goals if you're a member in the body of Christ. And if you've been born again, you're a member of the body of Christ. You can't get out of there, okay? So this is for every one of us. And so there are spiritual and relational maturity. Maturity in Christ is one of the goals. Are you maturing? Are you growing up? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Notice, if you will, he has four things that define that spiritual and relational maturity. We have the area of relationships and doctrine, knowing Christ more fully, knowledge of the Son of God, and to mature manhood, growing up. So let me put it this way: you ever see kids in a playground? And one has maybe a ball, and there's three other kids. I want that ball. Now it belongs to the playground, if you will. But that kid has the ball, and so they begin to fight and bicker. But they're kids. We can't expect something different from them because they're kids. But when Paul is talking about maturity and growing up, sometimes that bickering and fighting gets into church. And sometimes we bring things from outside that door in that world, into the body of Christ right here. And we allow those things to divide. And that's not maturity. That's acting like kids. That's in the playground. And that's what Paul is saying. Part of the ministry goals that we have in our lives with each other is that we would grow up. that we would grow up into maturity in Jesus Christ, that we have that relational maturity. We also have that doctrinal maturity so we can discern wrong doctrine from right doctrine. We're not led astray by what we hear in the radio or about what we hear on the TV or about what we read in other books or about what we hear from family members. Oh, you're way off on that. Really? Really? You see, the goals of ministry that you and I have is that we would be mature in Christ, relationally and doctrinally. Let's go on. And that we have spiritual and personal stability. Personal stability. So that we no longer be children. Why? Because we're growing up. Okay? We're growing up. Are you growing up? Yeah. I'm still in the process, though. Here I am, 74 years old. I'm still growing up. And I know I'm not like I was, say, 20 years ago. You wouldn't have liked me. No, that's okay. I'm growing up. Are you growing up? Yeah, but there's a goal that we're growing up into the likeness of Jesus Christ, into the maturity in Jesus Christ, into the fullness of Jesus Christ. You see, God has a plan. And part of that plan that He has is that you and I, we labor together, we love together, we worship together, we praise together, but we also minister together that we would be mature. And we don't act like children out in the playground. And we don't act like people out in the world. But we're different because of Christ and His redeeming grace in our life. Amen? Yeah! And so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness and deceitfulness. Doctrinal discernment. We ought to be training and taught and learning that you and I can tell the difference between false doctrine and true doctrine. Paul uses, when he's talking to Timothy and he's also talking to Titus, he uses the word sound. You know what that means? It's a soundness of body. And it could also be translated healthy doctrine. A church is healthy with healthy doctrine. That brings health to the body of Christ. That's why it's so important that you and I have discernment. That's so important that we have that ministry together and we're all exercising those spiritual gifts. If you're not ministering, then it's just a club. If you're not ministering, then it's just a club. Okay? Is it just a club for you? You see, the body of Christ is where we minister to one another, maturing together. No longer children in the playground, bickering and arguing. But we're speaking the truth in what? Come on. We're speaking the truth in what? Oh, I couldn't hear that. I'm sorry. I got to tune up my hearing aids. Okay. We're speaking the truth in what? In love. Yes. Why? Because we love the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost. And because of His love in us, we love one another truly as a family of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we want to be in submission to the Lordship of Christ, utilizing the spiritual gifts that He has given us for His glory and our growth. For His glory and our growth. Growth in the church, 15 and 16. Verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, that we grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. We need not only to be practicing the truth in every area of our lives. That doesn't mean we're perfect. One thing Christians know about themselves is that we're not perfect. But we expect others to be. Why is that? Why is that? The grace that we expect others to give us, why don't we give that grace to others? I'm talking about the body of Christ now. It should also be reflected in our relationship to those outside the world who aren't believers yet. We need to be practicing the truth. But we also need to be speaking the truth in love. And as we do that, and there's teaching and training going on in the body of Christ, because of the spiritual gifts are being utilized, you have a spiritual gift or gifts, are you using them for the glory of God and the growth of the body of Christ here? If you're not, it's just a club. It's just a club. You see, with a club, I can be a member, but I don't have to attend to all the things. I don't have to be part of all those things. I'm a club member. I belong to the NRA. How many belong to the NRA here? Oh boy, am I exposing myself or what? Okay. I made that decision a while ago. I don't think there's anything wrong, but it's like a club membership. I'm committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not committed to the NRA. But I'm committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, I'm committed to you. I really am. That's why I want to preach and teach and speak the truth in love. Amen? Yeah. And so we have individual growth, but in verse 16 it speaks of corporate growth. Take a look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, hey, you're in it, you're part of it, the whole body joined and held together. Who's holding it? Huh? Are we holding on to one another? Oh, I don't know if we can make it or not. No! He's holding us together. He's empowering us. He's connecting us. And in that connection, He's given gifts. Yes, not all members in your body and my body do the same thing. And just like Christ's body too. We are gifted to do different things by Christ and for Him. And held together by every joint and with which it is equipped, when each part is working improperly, right? No, the word is properly. What does that mean? The body functions. You know, I have a finger. I don't go poking my finger in my eye, do I? You know, sometimes I'm trying to get something out. Have you ever done that? Sometimes you're trying to get something out of the corner and you maybe you press a little too hard and you say, ooh, well, I shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? You don't do it on purpose, though, do you? Sometimes, you know, we poke another member in the body where we're just trying to help them out. You know what I mean? And we poke them. Is that the function of my finger, to poke my eye? No. No, it's not. Working properly makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. As a Christian, you and I are committed because of Christ. And because as a Christian you're in the body of Christ, you're a member in that body, we are to be committed to ministering together. It's not a club. Not a club. Personally, I think that when people move from church to church, they're just moving from one club to another club. No commitment there. They're just moving. Did you hear what he preached today? Well, I don't like that. I'm going to go somewhere else. No, it's not about me. It's about him. Amen. If we are, in your bulletin there before you, if we are to be a healthy and living and growing church according to God's Word, our ministry, this is a good ministry statement, okay? Our ministry should be what? To teach, train, encourage, equip every member for ministry within the body of Christ as we press on to maturity and fullness in Christ. That's what ministry is all about in the body of Christ. It's not because, you know, we have a hole and a spot here, and we need to put somebody in. So we ask 12 people, can you do that? Can you do that? Can you do that? No. A healthy, living body of Christ is glorifying Jesus Christ and growing together. They see the holes, and they say, you know, God has gifted me to do that, and I'm going to do that by the grace of God. Now, indeed, there needs to be some coordination, okay? We're not all freelancers. But in the coordination, yes, okay. There's that affirmation. And God affirms it too, by growth. Also, if together we are doing what Christ commands us to do, then our mission is to make disciples of Jesus Christ who will be committed and equipped to disciple others. That's our mission. Are you being discipled? Are you discipling somebody else? Are you? Are you growing in Christ? Are you ministering in His church, the body of Christ? You see, that's what the Word of God is teaching. So that you and I can answer that question in the affirmative. Yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I want to grow, and I have been growing. I want to grow more. I want to mature. I want to be in ministry. I want to be discipled. And I want to disciple others. You see, if it isn't, it's just a club. It's just a club. I don't believe this is a club. Do you?
No.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this day. What a glorious day because of Your glory shining through the day that You have given, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Because our gladness comes from You. The joy of our salvation. The gladness of Your grace showering down upon us. The gifts that You've given to us by Your grace to minister for Your glory as we minister one to another. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank You that by Your grace and redemptive work that we are members in Your body. Thank You, Lord, for everyone who's here. And I ask, Father, that this Your Word, the proclamation of Your Word, continues to stir our hearts, Lord, to a greater and deeper and broader commitment to minister together for Your glory and for our growth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Savior, our sacrifice. And we thank you that he brought us all together as his children in one body, the church, and we rejoice that we have this opportunity to work together, to minister together in one organism, the church, and that you have ordained that as the way in which we grow and we work together, we accomplish the mission that you have commissioned us to do. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to use the words that we've heard this morning in our lives to search our lives daily, whether we are maturing in you, whether we're growing in you, whether we're helping others to be discipled, to grow in you, to become what you want us each to be as part of the body, doing our part, being our part of the body to do your work. Take us from here, use us for your glory. We live in a dark world, a world with much sin and degradation around us. Help us to be a bright light shining in that darkness to bring others to you. We pray in Jesus' name.